You know, that microphone problem seems to be fixed.
That's because I'm not speaking.
Oh, yeah. Zing. It's the Carson Show.
I'm rehearsing for a zingy weekend show.
He's been practicing his special voices off the
practicing air. Your static hiss?
Yeah. Should I have like a fitness show, a travel program?
You've been practicing the annoying 60 cycle hum in the background? All right. 503-733-2970. I really have to know how tan Sarah is at this point.
I am.
You really are. Tim, am I hallucinating?
I believe so. No,
is it just dimly lit in here, maybe?
Could be. I got very badly burned.
You look tan. Your face is a little pink, just a hair. Not bad, a little pink. But I have to. But you are wearing a shoulder-bearing outfit today, so you are very tan. I mean, for you anyway.
Yeah, I went swimming. My face got fried because I was swimming and then with the reflection of the water. And
yeah, the bar is kind of set low for us to be tan, but no.
We're all a little pasty. Well, Tim's always tan.
And I never go outside.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Oregonian TV critic, with a head full of something and a heart full of another thing that's pithy and like gelatin. Peter Carlin, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. How are you?
Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm in L.A., man. I'm in Pasadena.
I thought you were back this week.
How do you define this week?
I guess today. I thought you were back today.
No, I'm back on, like, Friday.
I'm sorry. Am I eating up your cell phone minutes? Now I feel like a tool.
You mean because I was sitting there, like, on hold?
I sort of,
like, 12 minutes?
I thought you were at your house sort of lounging by a pool or in other ways relaxing. Well, never mind. Hey, before we move on, let me, from all of us, let's congratulate you on your fantastic review in the New York Times Book Review.
Thank you.
I mean, it is really, I mean, that's like the gold standard. That is what every, I mean, all kidding, all joking aside, that is what every writer aspires to, is a good review in the New York Times Review of Books. And they give you a page and a half here about Catch a Wave.
They didn't even mention Ann Coulter.
No. So well done, my friend. Congratulations. Have we figured out when the book actually comes out?
It is out, baby.
Are you sure? Like, now this isn't, is this really out or is this out like in sort of your book publisher's land?
Tomorrow is the official pub date, but it's everywhere, from what I understand.
All right, so if I went to the bookstore today, I would be able to purchase Catch a Wave and then have you autograph it when you were here.
Yeah, I hope so. Let's put it that way. Thanks. I mean, it's like all subject to availability.
All right, hold on. We're going to check. Hey, Scotty J. Oh, all right. Whatever, later this hour. All right, I'm sorry, Scotty's busy wrangling Storm Large from Rockstar Supernova. All right, well, we'll check later on. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Okay, hi. So, we won't keep you a whole long time, because I know you're busy. Are you there for the upfronts, is that the thing?
No, it's not the upfronts, but it's, you know, it's the TCA press tour.
Now, what is the difference between the TCA press tour and the upfronts?
Well, the upfronts are in New York City in May, and that's when they announce the new schedule.
All right.
Essentially to advertisers and stuff.
Okay.
This is where they talk about it to TV critics.
All right. And were you there when Aaron Sorkin made the crack comment?
Yeah, I sure was.
This is now, for those of you who didn't hear it, Aaron Sorkin, who has a long and documented struggle with drugs of many different kinds, including, I believe, crack, said,
yeah, that was the whole thing.
Yeah, he was talking about reality programming and Fear Factor and so forth, and he said, those shows are just like bad crack in the schoolyard. Apparently, right. At which point there was a long, lingering, awkward silence.
Yeah, it was just a very well-timed comic beat,
yeah.
At which point, without barely, he sort of paused for a second, then he said, what did he say? He said, why did I use that word? Right. And then he paused again and said, it was going so well.
Apparently everybody else that came after him sort of riffed on it a little bit, though.
Yeah, Matthew Perry, who's on the show, and said, and also had a documented issue with Vicodin, the painkiller, said something later, when the next time anyone asked him a question, he just said, well, I thought it was like bad Vicodin on the schoolyard.
Right, so
everyone just laughed uproariously because there's nothing funnier than drug problems.
Because personal flaws are hilarious.
Well, it makes you look, it endears people to you even if you're kind of a jerk.
Well, you know, and Sorkin...
Perry's case is kind of the case.
And you know what? And Sorkin especially has always been so upfront and so... you know, he's always worn his sort of problems and frailty on his sleeve, you know, because yeah. there were several characters that he's written, most notably Leo McGarry on The West Wing, who I believe was, you know, a lot of people believe was a very thinly veiled way for Sorkin to talk about his own struggles with drug addiction. And Leo McGarry, not to be overly maudlin, but Leo McGarry as the as played by, God, the guy who died, whose name
John
I forget
Spencer.
Now. John Spencer, yes, thank you. Had a very eloquent, very moving monologue at one point where he talked about people, you know, he said, I love the way a perfectly weighted scotch tumbler feels in your hand. I love dropping the ice cubes from just the right height and hearing the clink they make. You know, I love feeling the warm, you know, the warm burnt cork taste of the bourbon as it goes down your throat and all this. And you could tell that that was Sorkin very much talking about, you know, about just the allure and the pull that all of that stuff has, the ritual that comes with being a drug user. So he's always been sort of endearing in that way. He doesn't try to gloss it or to make it seem, you know, like something it's not. So
he's a degenerate and proudly so.
Yes, yes. Is it going to be as good a year as you thought it was going to be for television? Because you were talking about there's the Tina Fey thing, the Sorkin thing, Friday Night Lights. Are you still feeling bullish, as they say?
You see the pilots, and the pilots, a lot of the pilots are pretty good, and it's sort of, you know, but I mean, let's, to be real, we're still talking about a batting average around the 10% range, you know, 12, 15%.
It's true.
You know, and so there's a lot of crap, and then that's what the deal is with TV, and there's a lot, you know, and so there'll be a lot of stuff to mock, and a lot of things to have to sweat through. But on the other hand, you know, whenever you get like 4, 5, 6 cool new shows on, and I suppose there's always a chance that some of them are going to stick around, then it's good, because that's a lot of entertainment. You know, it's more entertainment than most people can handle in any week. You know, right. You got to make some hard choices.
You know, there's in today's paper, you have a great article about the Emmy announcement, which happened, what is it, last weekend?
Oh.
2 weekends ago?
Back.
Something like that.
Telescopes.
And it's, I mean, you really just have one of the trademark Peter Ames Carlin scathing pieces about how out of touch and hopeless the Emmys are in a huge way. And, I mean, I was talking to this, the reporter from CNN about this, that, again, they hold true to their fashion of nominating things that half the, is again, this year, like, where a third of the things they nominated have already been taken off the air?
Well, but that's, you know, sometimes you do that, that's like a statement because shows are good and yet they don't stick around, you know, and so this is a way to reward good work. But, you know, you never know what the motivations are. I'm always very suspicious. I mean, these kind of peer awards, it's like, who's being rewarded, you know, for what particular reason? And is it because they're powerful? Is it because you feel sorry for them? Is it because the show's actually good? I mean, who knows?
Right. Did Jeremy Piven get nominated for something for Entourage?
Yeah, he's a supporting actor in comedy.
I gotta tell you, man, if that guy had better win something for that show at some point, because he has just so completely subsumed, or a word like that, himself, in that character.
And you never know with the awards. I mean, and for all the, you know, bitching and moaning that I and other critics do, at our TCA Critics Awards last night, the winner of the best show program of the year was Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
I'm like, I'm sorry, that's a crappy show. I hate that show. I can't stand it. It's a low, you know, it's just not a good show, and it was up against The Sopranos and Lost and, you know, like a whole bunch of legitimately great shows. And, you know, and who knows? I mean, I guess I could always be wrong. I mean, there's always the outside chance.
No, you're really not. As my friend Todd used to say, for anything to be wildly successful in America, it must have an air of mediocrity.
Well, but then you get lost. I mean, occasionally lightning strikes. Seinfeld was a great show. That was hugely popular. There are a lot of great things that stick around for a while, but, you know, I mean, The Sopranos is terrific, and that's popular, though, sort of the lower-level thing.
Yeah.
Did you know it's like 107 degrees down here?
Yeah, I know. I was reading your article. You said it was 104 the day you had to go to the Emmy thing. And is it, Pasadena, that's unusual, though, for that area, though, isn't it? It doesn't usually get that hot.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
It's out of character. It's creepy.
No, you're not from New York, but you did live there for a while, right?
Yep.
You've been following that thing in Queens, where it's like in Queens. Did you see this thing that Con Ed was doing in Queens, where they had a photo of video of these guys who work for Con Ed, like asleep in their van by the side of the road, while there's 100,000 people in Queens with no power. And somebody finally asked Con Ed at a press conference. They said, "How do you come up with this figure that 100,000 people have no power?" And Con Ed, apparently, this is the sophisticated method they use. For someone to be to go on the list, on the rolls, as it were, of being without power,
yeah,
they have to call up and complain that they are without power. That's the only way they know.
Yeah.
Con Ed said so if 50% of the people called up and said they don't have any power, I mean, it could be 200,000. Hell, in St. Louis right now, there's 300,000 people without power.
Yeah.
So,
you're breaking up. I don't know if you can hear me.
All right, yes. Okay. There we go. And like MySpace, goes Peter Carlin into the night. All right. Well, there you go. That's Peter Carlin. All right, Scotty, if Peter calls back, tell him I feel bad. We've taken up a bunch of his time. We kept him on hold. Wish him Godspeed and so forth. And tell him I'll go buy his book. There you go. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian, his new book, Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson. I will be talking about endlessly. You will be sick of it. You're probably already sick of it. I don't care. Got to be relentlessly referring to it. I'm going to go buy it today. Go buy it. Do it for Peter, won't you, please?
Live, local, and relevant.
No, that's relatable. That's right there. We're talking about Portland right there. Sons of bitches. All right. The great thing about Peter is how he just refuses to find anything remotely redeeming in anything at all. We're kindred spirits in that way. It's 503-733-2970. Here's the deal. Storm is at 215. Today's Storm Watch will be at 2:15. I would encourage you now, by the way, if you have questions for Storm Large, who is...
Send them in. We're kind of running out.
Well, it's
just hard because I'm more into the reality show portion of it, and we can't talk about the reality show part.
That's the thing.
So it's hard because you see all these different characteristics of the people that you can't bring up because it's not on the singing part.
All we can really ask her about is the stuff that's on television, and it's like there's only so many times I can go, like, you rocked it. You crushed it.
You don't even see them interact on television.
So if there are questions you have about Rockstar Supernova and Storm Large, you can email those to rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. She'll be joining us in about an hour, 2:15. 2:15. Let's see, what else? Okay, we got Clyde Lewis here, and then we've also got Ed McCarthy coming up. I have other stuff, top five. There was something else. Oh, we gotta talk about the vegan thing today. Because today's the drop dead day. We gotta get if we don't have a vegan to fight a meat eater by the end of today's show, then it's probably not gonna happen, which would be a shame. So we've got that to get to. We've got some tickets to, this is badass, people, if you are a male, if you are a Y chromosomed American, we have Demolition Derby tickets. We're gonna be giving those
away. Oh, come on, like girls don't like that?
I'm sorry, do you?
Yeah, my dad used to take me to them all the time when we were younger.
There you go.
We would have family trips
there. I've got Demolition Derby tickets.
Oh, those are awesome.
We've got those, and we've also got some tickets to, Rockfest 11, which is coming up this weekend as well. It's 503-733-2970. We'll break. We'll come back with Clyde Lewis. And so forth. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
They see it right, they see it well, but they think they from,
you know, the weird thing is that what's his name? Eric Murphy E. In real life, you know, he's totally nothing. In real life, he's dating Nicole Richie, isn't he?
No, he's dating Nikki Hilton.
Nikki Hilton?
Yeah, and he's always photographed just being like a drunk idiot.
Being a tool.
Yeah. So he's a lot more likable on the show.
See, I can't talk about Entourage with you guys because, well, Tim doesn't really watch it.
I don't have HBO.
Don't you guys still have my Entourage DVD sets?
I have.
I watch it and give it back.
All right, but you have season two still.
Yeah, they're just sitting out.
See, and I can't talk about season three to you because you haven't seen it.
I still have one episode of season three.
So good.
Darn us all.
So great.
Which was the last one? Was it about Medea?
Medea? No, that's already... Well, that storyline has already happened.
When he lays it down at the table,
yeah,
that next time...
That's already happened. That was like that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's the last one I saw.
But, man, it's so good. And all the Ari stuff is so fantastic. Yeah, that show is that show is incredible. We'll get to Clyde Lewis here in just one moment. I hold in my hands tickets to the Washington County Fair Demolition Derby, which is coming up Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Be there. You'll buy the whole seat. The edge is all you're really going to require, though.
They have a hypnotist there this year.
Really?
I saw it on one of the Burma Shave signs at the fairgrounds.
Is that true?
Hypnotist.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
It's
here we go.
The copy.
Washington County Fair, $1 million, 4-day, 4-night, multi-activity, family-oriented, community-building event to the Washington County Fair Complex located in Hillsboro, Oregon, across from the Hillsboro Airport. Estimated attendance, $80,000. Oh, wait, hold on. There's a rodeo. There's a truck pull. Demolition derby.
Sunday.
Blah, 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 blah. Be there. So, we'll give those away. I got tickets to the Demolition Derby. We'll be giving those away here in a while. Also got some, Rockfest tickets, et cetera. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from Atlanta. Or should I say from Hotlanta? CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Ed, how are you, sir?
Rick, happy Monday. Happy Monday.
Be there. Boy, let me just tell, okay, first of all, Tim Riley has just handed me this story. This is from Midway, Georgia. A Coast Guard helicopter crew rescued a woman who became stuck up to her neck in mud in Jones Creek. Have you heard the story?
It's the first time I've heard it.
I'm giving you the tip here. Kimberly Rozier, age 36, apparently drove her vehicle into the water and then climbed out and began swimming, authorities said. Rozier was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct and stuck up to her neck in mud in the creek. That's a story that could only happen in the South. That would never happen here.
You know, that's not too far away from where they have those redneck games.
Is that where they throw cow chips?
Yeah, they do all of that.
It's a proud culture. So let me ask you, bless you, sir.
Thank you. So
I don't mean to make light of the situation, but I mean, this is insane. This is not only in New York, but now, in St. Louis, was it 300,000 people with no power?
I know, and it's been going on for a while. They had two storms back to back, and they were like similar with the straight line winds that came in, and, in fact, the Braves were playing they were about to play Cardinals, and all the glass got knocked out of the booth, the press booth.
It's crazy, and we were just talking about this with somebody else, that in New York right now, I don't know if it's the same in St. Louis, but in New York and Queens, the only way that Con Ed even came up with that estimate of 100,000 people without power is that basically the way they tally that is if people call up and say, hey, Con Ed, all the power went out at my house, then you go on the list. That's the only, so the actual estimate is probably much, much higher than that. They only, you know, the 100,000 figure, that's only the people who have called in to complain about it. Con Ed, I had no idea about this. You sort of assume, like I do, that they have the technology to know, to like look at a grid and go, well, Sarah Dillon's power is out. They don't. No. They have no way to know what power is out where.
No, and it takes so long, and that scares you how this power grid has been taxed. And, you know, look at California, it's the same way. Are you guys getting a heat wave out there yet?
Well, I mean,
you were supposed to get one in Portland, weren't you?
In Portland, in Pasadena, it's 104 right now.
It was 106 in my car yesterday.
I'm sorry, it was 107 in Pasadena.
That's hot for you guys.
It was where, and Tim, in Portland, it was where? It was what?
In the western suburbs where I live, it was 106 yesterday.
It was 106. And then I mean, you know, again, I don't mean to be going on about how hot it is, but I mean, it's overcast and it's cloudy, which means it's all just trapped in here like a wet wool blanket. You know what I mean?
I know.
So.
But you don't have the pollution problem. We get the smog problem here when we get the heat.
Oh, man. It's, I mean, and I don't want to go on about whether it's global warming, whether it's not, but I mean, it is really crazy, especially if we were talking about it in Phoenix. There were people, you know, two people died in Phoenix or whatever, and that's a place where every house comes like stuck with air conditioning. It is madness. So is there any estimate on these? I can't even imagine what it's like to be a person in Queens or St. Louis. You've got no power right now. I mean, it's got to be like Lord of the Flies there.
Well, these people are saying, you know, they just look at, you know, to stay cool at night when they're sleeping.
And then
you got to think of the mosquitoes.
Is there any estimate on when they're going to get this fixed and get the power up for those people?
Man, I tell you, St. Louis is still, they're working. They said they haven't had a problem like this since the company started. I mean, they just can't believe how bad this thing is. So they just, they're working 24 hours a day. Now, you can only imagine what New York is like.
I can't. I don't mean to be a prophet of doom and gloom, but I mean, these are the sorts of things that lead to riots. This leads to, you know, widespread violence, because, you know, it's a documented fact. The hotter it gets, the crazier people get. And especially if they know that the authorities and the police are distracted with, you know, all of these heat-related problems. I mean, it's, Every day that goes on, it's like you get closer and closer to the real chaos developing there.
Like Texas.
You know,
yes.
That makes a lot of sense, too. And, you know, you're thinking about watching this thing, and it actually shows how vulnerable we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. All right. Well, we will talk to you. We'll keep in touch. See, look into this woman who got stuck up to her neck in mud. That sounds like something that's right up our alley story-wise.
I like that.
All right. Thank you. Ed McCarthy. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Stay cool, my friend. There you go. That's stay cool. That's Ed McCarthy. All right. Stay cool, boy. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Prophet of Doom and things and blood. Clyde Lewis.
Hey.
All right,
what's
sir.
Up? What's up?
I don't know. Hey, Buzz Aldrin saw an alien.
You know what's funny? I find it interesting that Buzz Aldrin said that, because most of the time when you ask Buzz Aldrin about that stuff, he says there are no aliens, there are no UFOs.
Was Buzz Aldrin, was it him or Neil Armstrong that got into the fisticuffs with the guy a while back?
It was Buzz.
Where a guy's like, you're covering up aliens, and Buzz Aldrin punched him in
the guy who says that we never landed on the moon, and he's got a bunch of videos.
Yeah.
I've talked with him on my show many
times. Neil Armstrong just disappeared after he came back to Earth after the moon landing. He was
he doesn't want to do public speaking. He doesn't want to talk about his moon experiences.
Well,
a lot of people are suspicious about whether or not, you know, we landed on the moon.
I've got this story here. This is from the Daily Record.
Mm-hmm.
The first man to walk on the moon reported seeing a UFO. A new documentary reveals astronaut Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon's surface after Neil Armstrong.
Neil Young.
What the hell? I'm on the moon. I'm on the moon. Lunar man. After Neil Armstrong says space agency bosses covered up their sighting. He says, there was something out there close enough to be observed. What could it be? Obviously, we weren't going to blurt out, hey, Houston, we've got something moving alongside us. Can you tell us what it is? They covered it up. Now,
it's called a light rafter.
But this is pretty amazing that Buzz Aldrin would not only say they saw a UFO, but that he would accuse NASA of covering it up.
That's why I don't buy the story, because Buzz Aldrin has never, ever, ever said anything like that about UFOs.
Now, why are you being all contrary now? Buzz Aldrin is finally saying he saw something, and you're saying
it's crap. Buzz Aldrin has been known to go on the records and say nothing was seen.
Well, why would
he was on the Adam Carolla show.
Okay,
he said the same thing.
Why would he say this?
Out of character for Buzz Aldrin.
But why would he say this then?
Who knows? Maybe he's just trying to throw people off. I don't know what it is. I'd have to see the documentary to believe it, because I just don't. I mean, every time I see Buzz Aldrin, he's a cranky old astronaut. And that's all he is. And he's to put it blunt, he's a jerk. And I, you know, personally, I don't understand, you know, why he would say something like that. I mean, unless, of course, you know, the astronauts saw a lot of things when they were on the moon, and there are a lot of pictures, things on the moon that you look at, and you're like going, where did they come from? And it's like, well, it's obvious. It's a ladder, it's a scaffold, it's something. You know, they're on the set, and they see something that doesn't look right. You know, that's how it goes.
They found ladders on the moon?
Somebody's doing a stage play of Our Town.
They found Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, exactly. Stanley Kubrick was directing it.
So, well, all right. So there you go. So this is, has it aired? I'm trying to see if the documentary has not aired yet.
Yeah, well, this raises my eyebrow.
Well, I don't buy it. Well,
I don't buy it at all. I mean, even if we did land on the moon back in 69, I don't think Buzz Aldrin would have said that, because Buzz Aldrin is very, very against aliens. I think he's an atheist even.
But he did say it, is my point. I mean,
that's what they claim, but the documentary hasn't been released yet.
Well, okay, but okay.
I'm saying it
seems unlikely that they would just
a gullible believer or a gullible weirdo. I mean, I'm a guy who does a lot of news reports on this stuff, and when I talk about it,
speaking of cranky,
know, people seem to think that I am gullible and I believe everything that comes down the sewer hole, but I don't. I have to analyze it before I give any reports.
Okay, is it hot where you are?
Which Mothman has been spotted.
I like how Buzz Aldrin saying on camera he saw an alien gets to see, but there's a Mothman. You don't believe what he says on camera, but you believe that there's a Mothman.
I got a picture. I sent it to you.
Okay.
I sent you the picture of Mothman. He's been spotted on the East Coast. And it's creepy, because Mothman's one of the creepiest stories that I've ever heard about, and Mothman is an impending doom.
You're sure that this wasn't just Mothman with a lisp?
No, it's Mothman.
Okay, just checking.
It's Mothman, and he's flying over the East Coast for some reason. People are seeing him,
he's not flying over the East Coast.
That means danger's looming on the East Coast. Something's going down. Also, another thing I'd like to point out is that the reason why the power grids are going down everywhere is not just because of the power, it's because of the fact that power grids have not been updated. They have not been updated to take all the computers and everything else we use on them.
Yeah.
So with air conditioning, it's just going to put them, I mean, this is not going to resolve itself. Not until we expand the power grid and make the power grid a little bit more efficient. I mean, most power grids that are here in the United States were put together in the 1950s, and they were meant to take 1950 type of power.
Well, that's true. Is it that, yeah, they haven't updated the grid, and there's so much more power draw now. Yeah,
exactly.
No, that's true.
We draw more power off our grid now, and it puts a strain on everything, and then you're going to be seeing more power grids go down. And
we're all doomed.
And it's going to be, what it is they call it an electromagnetic tsunami. And what that does is that you see the power grid loom forward and then it comes back and it just basically cuts power and things die. And it's almost like an EMP pulse. And I don't know if you've seen, there have been a lot of movies out lately that talk about these EMP pulses. I mean, it was War of the Worlds and also Superman talked about an EMP pulse. But these are all, you know, something to do with, you know, cutting out the power and having things all die on you. And that's something that we need to look forward to in the future if we don't update our power grids. So those are some things. And also,
big
I don't know,
year.
Pay attention to the news because I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but Bush and Condi and a lot of other people are doing this KISS ritual.
Uh-huh.
Seeing this? The KISS ritual has double meanings. And I think Gene Simmons had said something about this once when KISS was first established as a rock band because they were asking whether or not KISS meant Knights of Satan's Service. Uh-huh. And rather than saying yes or no, he said something like, well, KISS is like a kiss can either mean love or it can mean a betrayal.
A kiss is just a kiss.
And that, of course, Judas betrayed anything. Jesus with a kiss. And if you've noticed, Bush has kissed, he kissed some, I can't remember, some minister.
No, he wasn't a kiss, it was a back rub. He gave a back rub to the German
chancellor.
He gave a back
rub to that woman in the UN, but he also kissed a leader, I think, something an Israeli leader or something. And then Condi kissed somebody else today. And then the children of Israel, they brought in a bunch of children in Israel, and they had them kiss the bombs before they sent them to Lebanon.
Okay.
And this is very interesting because what this does is it is an empowerment kiss. And it's done in a form of magic. And it's really kind of scary because they're using this. I'm reading a lot right now. I'm reading the Book of Lies by Richard Metzger.
Okay.
And it's a very, very scary, scary book because it talks about magical rituals that are done by governments and occult wars that are done by governments. And I was having lunch the other day with Jim, a friend of mine, and we were talking. And I said to this woman who was talking about the war, she was all ticked off about Israel. And I said, you watch, they're going to call this Armageddon. Mm-hmm. And then, sure enough, three commercials later, Paula Zahn comes on and she says, is this Armageddon? Take a look at this and that and the other thing. If you take a look at all the strange, magical, ritualistic crap that they're doing right now with this war, I mean, they are actually putting together the Armageddon type of ritualistic, machinations. And what's fascinating to me is that if you take a look at the bombs that have been lobbed from Lebanon to Israel, the first couple of them were in like Tiberias and Galilee, and they're hitting all these places, and eventually a bomb may hit the Dome of the Rock, and if it does, then we might as well just go ahead.
This has been the longest unbroken sentence I've ever heard in my life. Seriously, this is like half an hour.
You don't realize how scary this war is right now. This is the scariest thing we've ever been in.
Clyde, what are you going to talk about tonight?
The scariest war we've ever been in.
Armageddon.
It is. It's Armageddon. They are programming us for that. And it's really frightening because if you take a look at what all has been said and what all has been done and everything is preparing, there are actually things that are going on that they have to make sure happen in order for this to appear to be that way. And it's just frightening. And it's all about sigils, which are symbols that they use to trigger responses from people. And how they empower sigils, and one of the biggest sigils of all is the tattered flag of the World Trade Center. They use that every time. They bring it out of baseball games, and they bring it to all kinds of gatherings, and that thing is an empowered sigil. And what it is that when all those people died, this is what these people believe, that all of their spirits got flung into that thing, and it's a symbol of death. It's really frightening.
So if you need a pick-me-up tonight, you feel the need.
Go buy Clyde a drink.
Go buy Clyde a drink and maybe give him a shoulder massage of some kind.
But Mothman is what's really cool. I mean, I really think Mothman is cool, besides the fact that we've got, you've got the picture of Mothman. He's flying around.
Kiss by Clyde.
He's bringing toys to all the good little girls and boys, and he may destroy a town near you. He's called the Ropin. Actually, they call it the Ropin, which is a flying alligator or a flying moth or a flying what have you, and it's really creepy to look at.
You can hear the music coming up this. We got to hit the break. So it's tonight at Dante's?
Yeah, tonight at Dante's.
All right, what time? 8 o'clock?
Yes.
And,
hey, Clyde, I think I'm going to come tonight. I'm in the mood for a pick-me-up.
Really?
Sure.
Okay, well, I'll do especially well when you're there. So.
All right, Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more at ClydeLewis.com. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Take care.
All right, there you go. There's Clyde Lewis. All right, there you go. We weren't really going to a break.
Yeah.
All right, 503-733-2970. Just needed some way to get in the middle of there and chisel an opening there so we could stop it. Good God, that was like 12 minutes.
Good God.
Good God, oh. Good God, yo. All right.
Condoleezza Rice kissing moths.
At a certain point there, I just couldn't keep up with it. And I started off with something that I thought was hell. Buzz Aldrin. Listen.
I know, you were so excited.
Bastard, I came on and I said, Buzz Aldrin. See, this is the thing with Clyde. Clearly, he was in no mood to talk about this. But because I tried to bring it up. Buzz Aldrin has said we saw aliens. I don't believe it. Like, here, this is exactly what Clyde has been waiting for. You know what it is? Clyde is just not happy when people agree with him or when things appear to be going well. Astronaut comes out, says we saw aliens. Clyde, I reject it. Clyde can't be happy when things are going well. It's a physical impossibility. He's got some sort of cultural commitment to always seeing the glass as not only half empty, but riddled with mold and, you know, and filth. All right. It's 503-733-2970. This email just says, for the love of God, what is wrong with that guy? I don't know the answer to that. Okay, 503-733-2970. Shane said his voice is like the brown noise from South Park.
Jesus Christ.
He just needs to get back on the air, because this is what happened. He has all this stuff pent up.
Well, you know what? And it's just, he's sort of like Clyde Light and Dark, like Charlotte Light and Dark on 6 Feet Under. There is sort of... We've often said
this. Like on the 4th of July, it was Clyde Light.
Exactly.
That was a lot of fun.
There are two Clydes. We've said this. My friend Kurt used to say this. That there's two. Clyde does really have, not probably clinically, but Clyde really does have a sort of two personalities. There is Clyde, and Clyde's the sort of happy, kooky, talks like Stimpy, helps me write the Christmas thing, comes on and is goofy and giggles a lot, Clyde. And then there's Zero. And Zero is just not funny, not happy, not cheery, doesn't see the lighter side of anything, just a huge, angry buzzkill. That's who we were just talking to there. That's sort of like when you get the serial killer in the room. It's like, so, admit that you hacked up these cheerleaders with a machete and then made them into a pie. Well, I didn't do that. But evil Frank might have done that. So that's bad Frank. That's who we're just talking to, is bad Clyde.
Talk to the moth.
All right. Hey, Scotty, while we're thinking about it, I'm going to give away a pair of these Demolition Derby tickets right now. To caller 5. We will take caller 5 now at 503-733-2970. We're not going to break quite yet, but we're going to give away a pair of these Demolition Derby tickets. Caller 5, 503-733-2970. Caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to the Washington County Fair's Demolition Derby happening this Sunday, July 30th. Now, I will tell you this. I'm not going to be there, and the only reason I'm not going to be there is because that's the same day I got this weekend I got the stupid wedding. Not stupid. It's glorious. I keep forgetting they live in Portland. It's a wonderful occasion. I'm welling up with tears just thinking about it. Anyway, it's a million dollar 4-day, 4-night multi activity family oriented community building event. It's part of the Washington County Fair and Rodeo. The Demolition Derby happens Sunday, so we're going to give you a pair of tickets to that right now if you're caller number 5. Jesus God. Now I'm just angry and suspicious of everything. Here's what's coming up at 2:15. Storm Large will be calling us. We got the Storm Watch. We got to talk about the vegan a little bit. We got the top 5. We have a friend, a listener, who was at yesterday's Rockstar Supernova taping. We'll talk more about that. And I wanted to, we probably got to have him on. Spoilers be damned. We got to have him on.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody knows
a spoiler.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about?
About, like, her placement and how she does.
I know she performs last.
Yeah.
And but I don't consider that a spoiler. Because, that doesn't really matter to me. To me, that's not a spoiler. I know she performs last. To me, spoilers are, who is the encore performance. You know, they didn't do that last week, though.
They didn't, no.
So who is the encore? What does she sing? How does it go over? Is somebody jaw-droppingly bad? These are all things that this Trevor guy probably knows. He's in Huntington Beach. He listens to us online. He's been listening to us for years. He's a great guy. I met him actually when Joni and I did the premiere of when we did the film festival screening of Remote Control at the Fairfax Lamely Theater. He actually drove up from Huntington Beach to see. He's a cool guy. So he was at the taping. So we'll probably have him on tomorrow. So there will be spoilers tomorrow when he's on. So just know that. All right, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. Wow. Dale.
is out the bottom of the Gore Tower in downtown Portland. CBS presents the CBS News Beat, Steve Radler reporting. Update from the Red States. A man died in a creek east of Oklahoma City while noodling, trying to catch large catfish with his hands. The man and five friends had split up for a while. Then the victim was found submerged in a creek 150 yards next to State Highway 66. Meanwhile, the city of Austin is trying to ban a male review from setting up shop next to a school for the deaf. Apparently, state law says you cannot have a sex-oriented business next to a school.
I'm on a lamb name.
Meanwhile, a state-sponsored a South Dakota state-sponsored website that matches up hay sellers with hay buyers is getting more attention than originally thought.
Hey now.
The original, South Dakota hay sellers website gets 1,200 page views per day.
How sad. What a sad existence that must be. That must be like being one of those guys who's on the lentil board in Pullman.
That's it for our Red State update. Meanwhile, permits to climb Mount St. Helens and look into the crater of the hottest ticket in Washington now.
The hottest ticket.
Why not bring the kids?
Yes.
Watch the 10-year-old push a 6-year-old right into the raging volcano.
What have I told you about pushing your sister into the magma cone?
Meanwhile, those FEMA trailers, which are sheltering tens of thousands on the Gulf Coast, well, they're exposing its inhabitants to a toxic gas.
FEMA, I barely knew you.
We're getting kids coming in with respiratory complaints, cold and sinus infections from the FEMA trailers, say doctors.
Okay.
Apparently, a couple named Paul and Melody from St. Louis say formaldehyde forced them out of their FEMA trailer. The couple said they had a friend air out the trailer and run the heater before they arrived because the smell was overpowering. And Melody said she had a nosebleed the first time they stayed in the FEMA trailer. It was so bad, but we went ahead and went to bed. Within hours, I woke up to the smell. It was strong, and I was gasping for fresh air, so I ran to the window. Their pet cockatoo is now ill. Apparently, the pet cockatoo has become lethargic, won't move, and is losing its balance. The vet said, get the bird out of the FEMA trailer, or it's going to die.
That's great. So there's no longer a canary in a coal mine. There's a cockatoo in a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Meanwhile, this comes to us from Kansas. A man is caught on video robbing a local store using women's underwear as a mask. The man broke into Laura's Little Fudge Shop.
Laura's Little Fudge Shop sounds like code for something.
He stole cash.
Can you go bowling tonight? No, I'm taking a trip to Laura's Little Fudge Shop.
Well, he grabbed two trays of chocolate pecan fudge. He kept the flowered panties on for the whole time. It was the first time that the police in Prairie Village, Kansas have seen such a mask. The suspect has not yet been identified.
Laura's Little Fudge Shop.
Laura's Little Fudge Shop.
Dang it. I'm sorry, that was tremendously unprofessional.
It was, wasn't it? Time for the Clown Watch.
Here's your Clown Watch for,
not quite as good as Laura's Little Fudge Shop.
Really, what
panty
is it?
Panty Bandit.
No, the Panty Bandit. Here's your Clown Watch for, whatever the hell, Monday.
Now, this comes to us from the Eagle, wherever that is. The College Station police are looking for a man accused of robbing a local hotel at gunpoint while wearing a clown mask. The man entered the lobby of Homewood Suites at 3:30 a.m. He pointed a handgun at the night clerk and forced him to empty the register. After he received an undisclosed amount of cash, the man told the clerk to go into the back room, and then he left. Nobody was injured. Home Suites management declined comment on this. The masked man held up the hotel at gunpoint, taking an undisclosed amount of cash. The night clerk able to lock himself in the back room and call 911, but the man in the clown mask was gone by the time the police arrived. The man also wore pantyhose over his face. He remains at large, but police say there were no major similarities between that and a past crime. Oh, by the way, wearing robbing in a clown mask is a felony, punishable by a fine to 99 years to life in prison.
All right.
So if anyone wants him into the clown mask, call the College Station Criminal Investigations Division.
All right. Let's see. We got some questions. If you have a question for Storm Large, Rockstar Supernova, she's going to be on with us at 2:15 as part of our every Monday Storm Watch. You can email your question to rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, did you see the bastards at VH1's Best Week Ever make fun of Storm's Google comment? They are dead to me and my TiVo forever. Now, I didn't see
this.
What
did they say?
I don't know. See, I didn't see it, but I got emails from a lot of people who just assumed that I watched it. I've only ever seen that show like twice.
It's funny.
The best week ever.
Yeah. Sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it just can't handle all the snarky commentary. It just gets old sometimes.
Well, you know, the thing about that show, and VH1 does, that is their thing. They're snarky. That is the one, they speak with one voice on that network, and they all sound like that Michael Ian Black
Except
guy.
Except for Michael Ian Black. I love him.
Oh, okay. Well, he's ironic. Everybody else is snarky.
You need VH1 Classic.
Yeah, I have VH1 Classic. VH1 Classic, where I watch Daydream Believers, The Monkees Story this weekend. I have a real sweet tooth for musical docudramas, like that Living Proof, the Hank Williams Jr. story with Richard Thomas from the Walton that I watched last weekend.
E! Entertainment had the story of Pink.
Really?
Last night, yeah.
Could there... Really? How long could the story be at this point?
I know. Well, she's only like 20 years old.
But like
I watched the story of Beyonce, the one that was on a couple hours before
that.
Oh,
how
sad. Really? It was good.
Okay.
I'm sorry. She's
Well, they're
kind of
bottom feeders.
It just
seems like kind of bottom feeders.
You used to actually have to have a full life before they could do a movie about you, or at least, you know, more than a few years. I guess Beyonce's been around for a while. Pink hasn't, though. No. But the... Lycus was talking about this the other day, how with the proliferation of networks, there's like 800 channels now, there are so few shared experiences that we have now as a television-watching nation. Gone are the days when you would come to work and everybody at work watched the same show last night. There's a couple exceptions, like The Sopranos or American Idol, but even those aren't watched by everybody. So it's like that best week ever. It's one more show that I don't have time to watch because I'm busy watching everything else. It's just, you know, it's all very difficult. So I don't know what it was. Apparently on Best Week Ever, they made fun of Storm somehow. But I don't know. So, of course, they're dead to me. But I don't know what they said. So if you saw that, if you saw Best Week Ever, we want to know what they said about it, because everybody just assumed that I watched it, so I didn't know.
I go to their website, but it takes too long to download anything.
Because it's all crap. It's all like Shockwave garbage.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
FYI, Karma Miranda died of a heart attack August 5th, 1955. So Karma Miranda dead a long time of a heart attack in her Beverly Hills home. Says Marianne Rambo. There. Woman with the coolest name ever. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. This is from Dawn about George Michael. Rick, it seems so clear he's into public sex. Doing it at home is too safe. And why wouldn't he act pissed if he's caught? It would look worse if he acted embarrassed. It's the whole revisiting his shame thing. I don't understand. Sex addicts feed on that. I wouldn't know anything about that, though. Says Dawn. Okay. Let's see. What else? Stories about how hot it is. All right. We should probably break. Are we still going to talk about the vegan? Damn it. All right. When we come back, we'll do that a little bit. We'll do City Desk, a little vegan talk, because we got Storm coming up at the, what's it, at 2:15. All right. Another pair of Demolition Derby tickets to give away as well, and we'll try to squeeze, turn it to Jerry Lewis. We'll squeeze in from Flavin. Spot the fake metal lyrics. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.